Well, you're wondering why this is up here. Poor Chris had no idea. I don't think anybody really knew. And I'm going to explain this in just a second. We're going to have a great time this morning. I want to talk to you about faith. We're in our series, www.God. Today, if you typed in search for, type in the word faith. It's a big word. Faith. The Bible says in Hebrews 11:1, faith is the evidence of things unseen, the certainty of things hoped for. That's a big word. To start out, I want to tell a little story about it's a sports story. I know you don't hear very many sports stories here, but I'm going to tell one, and it's a baseball story. It's about a catcher. You may not know his name, but he's very, very famous in the sports world. Not because of what he did. It's not like Babe Ruth or Reggie Jackson, people like that go down in history for their accomplishments. This young man was drafted by the New York Mets, or traded. He was acquired. His name is Mackie Sasser. I'm wondering, how many of you know the name Mackie Sasser? That's right. Not a single person. That's the same thing in first service. So I figured there'd be one of my sports buffs back there. Mackie Sasser, he was brought up because Gary Carter of the World Series champion New York Mets was getting old and his legs were worn out, his knees were bad as a catcher. One of the best catchers to ever play the game. So they brought up Mackie Sasser. Mackie Sasser, 6'1", 210 pounds. But very agile. I love it for those 200-pounders. So all of you, there's hope. Very agile. For me, there's hope. And they brought him up, and he was incredible. He was a great hitter, great with the bat. In fact, his batting average ended up being about .305 as a hitter. And he could throw the ball as a catcher. He could gun guys down at second base in less than 2 seconds. The ball was out of his hand and in the shortstop's glove, and he was an incredible defenseman. But there was one thing about Mackie Sasser that really ruined his career. Something in his mind snapped. Mackie Sasser, and it didn't happen all at once, he kind of had a problem with it. In fact, the New York Mets would even count. It became a chant when he would take the ball and he would throw it 62 feet to the pitcher. Mackie Sasser would take that ball and he would go to throw it. Something happened and he got caught up in his mind that he couldn't get the ball to the pitcher. And so he'd go to throw and he would kind of pump. And then he would pump again, and sometimes even 3 and 4 times, and the whole crowd would go, 1, 2, 3, like throw the ball. And he would throw the ball into center field. He couldn't get the ball to the pitcher. They said, what are you doing, you know? What's going on? And it didn't happen all the time, but it progressively got worse. It got to the point where he couldn't get the ball at all to the pitcher. I mean, he'd throw it, and he'd go to the second baseman standing over here. He'd throw the ball and he'd go over towards the shortstop. It got to the point where one day he wouldn't even throw the ball. He just couldn't. He could throw it to second base. He could throw it up. In the warm-ups, if he were in the bullpen with other pitchers warming up, he was fine. He'd get out on the field, and Mackie Sasser could not throw the ball to the pitcher. He got to the point one day, he went to throw it, and he says, I can't even let the ball out of my hand. And he just dropped the ball, and that was pretty much the end of his career. Mackie Sasser. What in the world causes someone to mentally have that brain lapse? A professional baseball player, paid a lot of money, and he's done this all his life growing up. And I thought about that, and I said, you know, isn't that about faith? We have so much faith in our lives, and one day we kind of look at God and we say, I don't know if I can do this. I don't know if I can throw this out to you, God. I don't know if I'm going to get it. And faith is a lot like that. There's a lot of Mackie Sassers in the church today who just somehow, they get a mental block. And now, we believe God for heaven. We can make the 100-mile-an-hour throw to second base. We can get to heaven. But some of us have a hard time really believing God for the little things, like our checkbook or our family or our marriage and relationships. And God says, I know the hair on your head. I, the God of this universe, know everything about you. Just throw that faith my way. Sometimes we're like, 1, 2, I can't do it, God. And how many times as a Christian, we just can't go 62 feet with God. And so this morning as we search for faith, there's an incredible thing. The Bible says, without faith, it's impossible to please God. You have to have faith to come to Him. And it's interesting. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. Another scripture says, and you might want to jot this down, it says, anything that is not faith is sin. That's a pretty huge thing. The disciples had a moment with Jesus and they said, oh, increase our faith, Lord. We just don't have faith. Faith is a big word. And this morning, I want us to dive into it, into this whole thing with faith. We need to change our faith. The Bible says, faith, with faith, you can do absolutely anything. So we need to change our mind because faith happens here. I watch sports figures when they say, oh, he just got into that mental zone. He just got in that place where he knew he couldn't miss. The basket was this big around. The goal was just gigantic. The golfer said, my swing was there. I just couldn't miss. As Christians, we walk in faith, and it's such a mental thing that we have to believe. And that happens in our minds. And so many times, we say we believe, but do we believe? Can we walk in that faith? And so we need to change our paradigm. We need to kind of get it 62 feet, because the devil wants to get us in that place where by fear or by doubt or things happen in our lives, it's like something snaps and goes, I just don't know if I can do this. And so this morning I want to illustrate that. If you have your Bibles, Jesus gives us a great story in Matthew chapter 17. He talks about this faith thing that we read in Hebrews. And the Bible says, when they came, Matthew chapter 17, verse 14, when they came to the crowd, a man approached Jesus and he knelt down. Lord, have mercy on my son, he said. He has seizures and is suffering greatly. He often falls into the fire or into the water. I brought him to your disciples. And what does your Bible say? What did the disciples, couldn't they do? They couldn't heal him. I brought him to church and it didn't work. And I love what Jesus said. Look at Jesus' next words. Oh, unbelieving and perverse generation. You know he's talking, you know he's taking this personally, those 12 guys. Aren't you glad it's 2010? Because I'll tell you, if you were born in this time and Jesus looks at, brother, leave your nets, follow me. I want you to leave your tools and come follow me and be fishers of men. You're like, I'd love to do that. These guys got beat up on. There are illustrations. They're the punching bag for you and I to learn a good lesson. I don't want to be there. Could you imagine sitting there going, we couldn't heal the guy. And Jesus says, oh, you unbelieving and perverse generation. These guys are taking it personally. Peter, he's talking about you. Oh, no, John. He's talking about you. You should have healed him. And then he says this, how long shall I stay with you? How long, here it is, how long will I put up with you? But are you ready for this? Isn't this us? Aren't we there? How many times Jesus has had to say, unbelieving people. Now, I'm speaking to a mirror today, okay? So don't take this personally afterwards and come catch me in the hallway. But I know how many times Jesus Christ said, you unbelieving pastor, how long do I have to put up with you? Come on, Mitch, you have to trust me. And I go, I'm trying. I really am. I am trying here, Lord. And the Lord says, I believe the Lord's going to speak something to you this morning that is going to change your life. I really believe that. If you're ready for God to change your life, you turn to someone next to me and say, God's going to change my life today. If you believe that, turn to someone right next to you and say, God is going to change my life. And He's going to do it with a 300-pound wench. I've never preached on stage with a 300-pound wench. So here we go. Let today be a first. Jesus said to His disciples, He rebuked the demon. Well, first He said, bring the boy to me. He rebuked the demon, and it came out of the boy, and he was healed at that moment. And the disciples said this, why couldn't we do it? Why couldn't we drive it out? And Jesus says, because you have so little faith. There's that word again. He said, if you, He said, if you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will be moved. Nothing will be impossible. Everybody say nothing will be impossible. There it is. Thank you. Nothing will be impossible. Jesus is saying, if you have the faith the size of a mustard seed, He's saying, guys, you don't even have a mustard seed in your pocket. You can say to a mountain, and here's the problem. We're looking at the mountain instead of the mechanism of faith. We got to stop looking at our mountains and going, I can't climb this. You got a mountain of debt. You got a mountain of relationships. You got a mountain of health. You got a mountain of a country. You got a mountain of oil in the Gulf. You got a mountain of a war. And we start staring at this saying, God, we can't do it. I know the pastor prays for peace. Of course, he's going to be right one of these days. It's got to end that war in Afghanistan. You're right. I'm going to be right one day. That's not my faith. My faith isn't eventually God's going to do this. I believe God's going to do it because He's going to answer our prayers eventually. See, I have a faith that God's going to do this. I'm not praying it hoping to be right. I'm praying it knowing that God asked me to exercise my faith. We need to get into a place where we say, God, I'm going to walk by faith and not by sight. I got to quit looking at the mountain. The mountain will kill you. Stop focusing on the mountain. I need a mountain. I need a volunteer. No, let me do this. Not yet. Hold on. Okay, let me explain it this way. Oh, you don't think I'm getting in this? I'm the senior pastor. I need my intern up here. Come here. Come on. Let's give him a hand. He'll come up if we do that. Brother, go ahead and put your work clothes on. You see, Jesus speaks to us about faith. I thought about just preaching a sermon this morning. I thought, no, I'm going to let a sermon preach to you. Because the one thing that sometimes I'm not sure we get it is oftentimes we're looking at the faith, or I'm sorry, we're looking at the mountain, and we say, okay, how am I going to do this? Where in the Bible does it say, where in the world, how are you going to do this? Right here. All right, brother. You ready? All right. And so, Ron, our brother Ron here, who's an intern and loves doing this kind of stuff for me. is going to represent our mountain that can't be moved. Come on up here, brother. And I'm going to represent mankind to move the mountain. So Ron represents the mountain. Ron represents in our lives. Brother, did you get taller since first service? Oh, let's go the other way. All right. Perfect. So Ron is going to represent our mountain. All right? Now, one thing about Ron is a mountain. In a good way. In a good way. Right? All right, brother? I mean, it's not like you're not some 90-pound weakling. So here it is. Ron represents in our lives those things that we say we can't move in our lives. He represents in relationships those things you say are impossible. He represents in our finances. He represents in our faith the thing that says you got no hope. He represents no hope. He's that mountain that we say, I just can't get past my mountain. I represent us. That says, no problem, I'm going to move that mountain. And I'll tell you what, I'm going to move that mountain right now. Okay. Are you not off the ground? Okay, here we go. Good grief, I can do this. All right. So I'm going to move. Are you off the ground yet? Okay. Wait a minute. I need some help here. I'm going to get a volunteer here to help me. And Austin, come here. I know Austin can bench press at least 100 pounds. Austin, this is Austin. Give him a hand. Come on up here. Come here a second, brother. Grab a pair of those gloves over there. Oh, right there, right there. There's a pair of gloves right there. Grab those gloves. I'm going to need your help. We're going to get him off the ground. We're going to move this mountain together, all right? Can we move the mountain?
Let's do it.
All right. You got faith we can do this? I'm looking at you. I got faith. We're definitely going to do this.
You've got a good grip, right?
Well, not yet. You're not even off the ground. Okay, here we go. Let's go ahead and get this mountain off the ground. And so the Bible says you can move a mountain if you have faith. That's it, brother. That's it. There we go. Come on, let's pull. There we go. Oh, yeah. There we go. Hey, we're moving that mountain. Hold on. Hold on to that. Don't let go. Okay, step away. I got it. Step away. Yeah. Okay, you know what? You know, you're a pretty strong guy. Let's see. Let me get another volunteer. You, young man. Come on up here. Yeah, let's give him a hand. Grab a pair of those gloves right there. Grab a pair of those gloves. Okay. Are you ready?
Yep.
What grade are you in?
Going into eighth.
All right. Come on over here. I'm going to hold on to this. I want you to go ahead and start pulling. Ready? Go ahead. Start cranking. Yeah, that's it. Don't let go. Okay, let's get him up in the air a little ways. Okay. See, we're moving that mountain. Isn't that amazing? Okay. Hold on. Hold on to that. Hold on to that. You young lady, would you grab a pair of gloves? That's right. Let's give her a hand. Come on up here. All right. All right, let's take him up higher. Ready? Pull. Come on. Pull. Hold on to him. Okay. All right. What grade are you in?
What do you know?
I got no idea. Okay. Okay, you got it? You're not letting go. Okay, step away for just a second. Right over here. Okay, ready? Come on over. Okay, ready? Pull. Oh, there you go. Pull.
Hey, you're getting
pull.
Too into this.
Pull. Okay, hold on to him. All right, we just moved that mountain. Hold on. Okay, Abby, let go of him. Let go. Ready? Oh, yeah, that's great. Because here's the deal. We're so focused on the mountain that we got to move it that we're all calling the pastor or we're calling the all-state wrestler. And we're saying, hey, maybe the pastor can get this done for me. If he maybe crunches his forehead a little harder and prays harder, maybe 30 Hail Marys instead of 20, maybe God will answer. Listen, maybe God will answer my prayer. When did it become about you? Or about him? Oh, well, he's stronger. No, he moved the mountain. She moved the mountain. Because it's not about us. The Bible says it's not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord. You see, it's the mechanism of faith that moves the mountains. And anybody can exercise that faith. It's not about you, and it's not about your mountain. It's all about Him. Amen? Thank you. Give these guys a hand. Good job, guys. Go ahead and throw your gloves down. Good job. Thank you. All right, so come on down. Oh, you're fine. So, the thing about Ron is, Ron may have represented in my life that which can't be moved. And you know what we do? We think, we fire him, yeah. No, you're too valuable for me right now. You know what? Ron represents that thing in my life that says, if I just try a little harder, if I were just a better person, maybe God, if He liked me a little more. Can I tell you something? It has nothing to do with you. Faith has everything to do with God and absolutely nothing to do with you other than exercising it in God instead of exercising it in yourself. These young men and young women, the Bible says it doesn't matter how old you are or who you are. If you exercise faith, mountains move. And I just appreciate Ron being that mountain and coming up here and helping me out. Thank you. All right. When did we get as a church dependent on our own strength? When did we think that we had to squeeze a little harder, hit our knees a little more? Now, do we need to hit our knees more? Absolutely. But sometimes I think we get there somehow trying to convince ourselves or convince God that I'm good enough or that I have a little bit more. And God says, you never had enough to begin with. That's why Jesus Christ died on the cross, so that I could give you all the strength, I can give you all the power, but you got to trust the mechanism and not look at the mountain. You got to trust the mechanism and start trusting yourself. When we do that, mountains move in our lives. Because God and God alone can move the mountain. We exercise faith. You guys walked in this morning by faith. You woke up this morning and you exercised an incredible faith. You took a deep breath this morning and none of you probably even thought twice, hey, is there going to be oxygen? Wait a minute. Okay, I think there's enough. Everybody else stop breathing. You didn't even think about it this morning and God gave you that which is unseen. Faith is the certainty of things unseen. You woke up this morning, you were certain there was oxygen for you to live. He gave you life this morning. Where did that come from? Try another planet. It came here because God gave you life to sustain you. You walked in this morning, or you drove here this morning, you drove your cars down here, and that was an act of faith for many of you, trust me. You drove here in a car or a vehicle and someone else didn't cross the road. You trusted them by an act of your faith. Yesterday, my daughter got her driver's license, and that is an act of faith. And me riding with her is an act of faith. No, she's actually one of the best drivers of all my kids. She is probably the best driver. But it's an act of faith. You all came in and you sat down in your chairs. And how did you know that chair was going to hold you when you sat down? It was an act of faith. Today, you trust and put your hope in God, the very one who spoke universes into existence. The Bible says He is so large that the palm of His hand holds all the stars of the universe in the palm of His hand. And that same God, by faith, knows the numbers of hairs on your head or the lack thereof. He knows you intimately and loves you. By faith this morning, I am worshiping the King of Kings. By faith this morning, my hope rests in the glory that one day Jesus is coming back. He says, in my Father's house are many mansions. I know by faith that no matter what happens in this world, God is going to raise me up. He's given me a new heaven and a new earth. I know by faith this morning, all my sins are forgiven. All my sins, as far as the east is from the west, have been covered, for who you confesses his sins shall be cleansed from all unrighteousness. I know this morning I am redeemed and my Redeemer lives. I know that by faith. It's not my own strength. I don't muster it up. I simply trust that God will lift me up in every situation of my life. I am weak and He is strong. I was blind and He gave me sight. I was lost. Now I'm found. Amazing grace. How sweet is that sound? You see, God does it, not me. And let me just give you a few pointers to take home. Here's just a couple of facts. Take these home with you. A couple things I know about faith. Number one, faith is not a feeling. We have got to stop living our faith by how we feel. I find Christians, I don't know, Pastor, if I'm saved today. Can I tell you, if you confess Christ, you are saved, redeemed, bought by the blood. You are washed under that. You are in redemption. He will come back. He has sealed you by His Holy Spirit. You are a believer in Christ. Stop living in fear and doubt. That is you. That's your feelings. That's not God. That's not what God said to you. Stop living in a defeatist way that says, I just can't do this anymore. You're right. You can't, but Christ can. Let's exercise our faith in Him and not in ourselves. We live in a world that has no problem. Jesus can heal a sickness. He's never met a disease He couldn't heal. He never met a demon He couldn't cast out. He never met a debt He couldn't pay off. But He's always met people He couldn't convince to believe. The hardest thing in your life isn't being healed, isn't getting rich. The hardest thing in your life is believing. And Christ calls you to have faith in Him. That's the one thing I know. We got to start believing by faith and not by feelings. I can't wake up this morning and go, I wonder how I feel today. Can I tell you something? If we live that way, we'd be in trouble. If every time my kids change their mind about me being the best dad in the world or the worst dad in the world. You're the greatest dad in the world. You're welcome. It's a brand new car. Can I go out on Friday night? No. You're the worst dad in the world. You've been there. Can I tell you something? It doesn't matter what happens in their feelings. I will always be faithful. I am their father. That will never change. My love for them will never change. I will stand until the day I die. I will remain faithful. Your Father in heaven is a faithful God. No matter how you feel, He will never change. I can be faithless. He will be faithful. I can be unforgiving. He will always be forgiving. He is always the same yesterday, today, and forever. Stop living by your feelings and walk in the faith of Christ. It's His power, not yours. That's the one thing I know. The second thing I know about faith is this. Faith grows. You can grow your faith. Some of you today say, I need more faith. Let me encourage you today. Some of your faith might be smaller than a mustard seed. Today, some of you can walk out of here today and go home and make yours the size of a mustard tree. Faith can grow. You can grow it. There's only one place in all of Scripture that says how to grow faith. And so many people say, I just don't have the faith. I say, well, here's how you get it. They don't go do it. And here it is. Faith, the Bible says in Romans 10:17, faith comes through hearing, and hearing through the Word of Christ. The only way that you're going to get faith is to hear the Word of Christ. You need to take it into your life. And as you start taking it into your life, you will get faith in your life. My son learned this at an early age. I've got three of these Bibles. My first one is sitting in my office. It's missing Genesis 1 through 11. I came home one day and my little boy, he was about 2 years old, and he was tearing page after page and he was shoving it in his mouth. He was eating the Word. I tell you what, he had some holy movements after that. He took the Word. He ate 11 chapters of Genesis. My Bible starts in that Bible with the flood of Noah. It doesn't start with creation or the fall. There is no fall. He ate the fall. He ate creation. Can I tell you something? You will grow in your faith if you start consuming the Word in your life. You need to take it in on a daily basis. Your faith might be waning right now because you may not have been into the Word for how long has it been? And your tank is about empty. You can grow your faith in your life every day. It's up to you. How much faith you want, get in the Word. That's the second thing I know about faith. The third thing I know about faith is this. Faith dances. Faith dances. The Bible says in James, I love the Apostle James. He writes one book in the Bible. He's Jesus' brother. His actually biological brother. Mary's his mom. James writes something. He writes an entire book of the Bible. Now remember who this is. Jesus came home one time, and when he got home, he didn't do many miracles. Remember what the Bible says? He didn't do many miracles in his hometown because they didn't believe. His brothers were like, wait a minute, this is our brother. James somewhere believes, and he changes his life. And now he writes this book of the Bible, and he says in James chapter 2, he says, faith without deeds is dead. You show me your faith by what you say, I'll show you my faith by what I do. In other words, faith has tennis shoes. It dances. You see, you get faith, but when you exercise faith, you dance. Faith will cause you to dance. You'll dance in places you never dreamed of. You'll be in places and say, I don't care what the people say, because God's in me. David danced. He danced before the Lord. And his wife, Michal, said, what are you doing, David? You're embarrassing me. He says, I don't care. God just given me a great victory. See, faith causes me to dance. Are you willing to dance? Get your shoes on. Exercise your faith. If you don't use it, the Bible says, it's as good as dead. Faith, that's the third thing I know about faith. It dances. The fourth thing, I only know five things about faith. Or at least that works for the sermon today, because I only wrote five things down. The fourth thing I know, it dances. It also sings. Faith will make you sing. Paul writes in Ephesians chapter 6, he's talking about the armor of God. He says, put on the breastplate of righteousness. Get on that helmet of salvation. But here's a beautiful thing. He says, take up a shield of faith, which extinguishes all the flaming arrows of the evil one. You know how beautiful that is? Think about this. The evil one, your enemy, he's launching things at you, these flaming arrows every day. And I don't know about you, anybody have any flaming arrows this week at your life? All the time, these flaming arrows are coming into our lives. And you know what they are? I doubt it. Don't believe. Get angry. Lose your temper. Don't be a godly man. Don't be a godly woman. Will you tell that so-and-so? You have every right. And these arrows are constantly being shot at us. And the Bible says, take up a shield of faith. You know what a shield says? A shield says, and it says it extinguishes every arrow. It's time we say to the devil, no. How's that? That arrow comes and says, no. Oh yeah? You're not going to heaven. Devil, I say no to that. Oh yeah? You think you're a strong Christian. Oh yeah, I am. I say no to that. You're nothing. No. Your kids? No. I'll take your kids out. No, you won't. I'll take out your finances. No, you won't. Why do you say no? Because the Bible tells us in a verse, in an epistle, and it teaches us to say no to godlessness. See, that's not godly. When you hear things like, you're unworthy, you're a horrible person, nobody loves you, you can't make it, your finances are... When the mountain comes and the devil shoots and says, look at this mountain, you say, no. I can climb that mountain. That's nothing. What makes you think? Because I take up my shield of faith and it excuses. It's time we tell the devil no. No more in my family. No more in my life. No more in my mind. No more in the sin and temptation that has been conquering me. And you look at that mountain and you go, I've been fighting that temptation and that sin my whole life. Guess what? Stop fighting. Let God raise you up. It's not about you. It's about Him. God can do this in your life. It's time that Christians... When I went to see... got the news that our brother had gone to be with the Lord. Just suddenly in the night. Very peaceful. Went over to see the kids and to pray with them as I made my way over to Dwayne's. I ran into Jonathan. I tell you what, I got over there and I was praying, God, what am I going to say? We just had another brother, Hugh, that went to be with the Lord. I mean, he's talking about the Lord and eternity, and 5 seconds later, he's in eternity. Hugh walked in that, and his family said, we're doing great. They really are. They're walking in the faith that says, we really believe this. We really believe that he's got his dancing shoes on. We really believe this with all of our heart. Does it hurt? You bet it hurts. We miss him. He's a great guy. I miss his pumpkin pies. I miss his discussions at our Bible studies. I miss that deep voice. I said, God, I don't know, another week, another gentleman in our church, a good friend. I said, Lord, I don't know the words to say. I got there and Jonathan looked at me. I said, how you doing? He goes, hey, did you win your ball game last night? I said, excuse me? He goes, yeah, did you guys win? I said, I came to comfort you, and you want to know how we did last night. He goes, Dad's with the Lord. Dad's with the Lord. And I went home, and I just kept thinking. I said to my wife, I go, it is so refreshing to hear people who really believe what they say they believe. Dad's with the Lord. Does it hurt? You bet it does. But Dad's with the Lord. If I could pick my day, I mean, raise your hand. You write your ending. I don't want 6 months of cancer. Some of you walk through that with family members. 2 years of Alzheimer's. We've walked through that with family. Me, reading my Bible in a chair, talking about Jesus, close my eyes and wake up in heaven. Lord, that's my request. Or, if you really, for some of you that are a little more radical, some of you younger people, God, just come on back in the rapture. You catch us in the air with that trumpet blowing with those four horsemen on that white stallion with a robe with a name that says Lord of Lords and King of Kings, and you blow that trumpet, I'll go up and meet you in the air. That's called the rapture. Now, for some of you, get a little sick at those kind of heights. But I thought to myself, what are you going to do, die? And then my question's always been this, theologically. He raptured me so I didn't die, but then I freaked out and died. And then he says he'll raise the dead, so do I get two? You know, have fun with it. Enjoy it. It is our faith. We can laugh in the face of death. Because here it is, Psalm 22. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I shall fear no evil. For thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. My God is with me. He prepares a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Let's walk in it. I'm convinced of this. It causes me to sing. It causes me to sing that song. When I put up my shield of faith, I start singing with MC Hammer. Can't touch this. Can't touch this. You remember MC Hammer? He sang that song, can't touch this. You raise your shield of faith and you say, devil, you can't touch this. I am bought by the blood of Christ. I've been paid, bought, redeemed, and I'm going to be raised again. My property's in heaven. You can't touch it. Moth and thief can't, thieves can't break in and steal, and moth and rust can't consume it. You got to understand something. We got to start telling the devil, no. No, that's what my faith says. Enough is enough. Church, let us rise up as the redeemed, and maybe the world will look and go, now that's what I've been looking for. People who believe that they really believe. Now that's worth living for. And the last thing I know is this. It's not about us. I try to come up with something cute. That's as cute as it gets. It's not about us. I learned this a long time ago. I learned that a little girl or a young man in junior high or a senior in high school or a pastor, it doesn't matter. A girl or a boy, a slave or a free, a Jew or a Gentile, it doesn't matter. It's all the same faith. If you walk in Christ, you have access and nothing is impossible to you who believe. And Jesus said, whatsoever a man thinketh, so he is. And a baseball player takes a ball and he can't throw it 62 feet because whatsoever a man thinks, so he is. You're right. I can't throw a ball 62 feet. Good, you just lost. As a Christian, I can't defeat this sin. I can't live in victory. You're right. You can't go 62 feet. But if you start changing here and you get the Word into here, you're going to start reading stuff like, and all things are possible. I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. For I know my Redeemer lives and none other. I know that God will raise me up. I know that He answers prayer. I know that He's numbered the hairs on my head. I know. You start doing that, not only will you get the ball 62 feet, you'll walk in victory and nothing, no weapon formed against you shall prosper. I'm convinced of this, that neither height nor depth, nor principality nor power, nor angel nor demon, nor past nor present, nor anything in all of creation can separate you from the love of God that's in Christ Jesus. Well, that's something I'm going to grab a hold of today. That's my faith. I'm convinced of this. It's not about us. It is not about us. My children have taught me that more than anything. It's not how hard I can squeeze my head and go, come on, God. If I squeeze harder, come on, God. I've learned that a four-year-old can just simply speak the words going, up in the UP, one Easter, late April, my wife and I had the brilliant idea to go to the UP. That is another country. Her grandfather has a cabin in the UP. We went there for our honeymoon, and I said, really? I'm waiting for dueling banjos and someone with a bow and arrow to shoot me. It scared me. We walked in, there's bunk beds, there's an ATV with rabbit ears with tinfoil around it that picks up two stations and they all speak in parlez-vous français. And I said, this is our honeymoon? So we went back years later with our boys when they were small, the three of them, and for a vacation in the Hiawatha National Forest. It's actually a wonderful spot. We got up there. We went into the Sioux to see the Lockwood, an incredible thing. First time I'd seen those, and just awesome. Or this was the second time I'd seen those. And on the way back, we said, let's take a shortcut. So a little bit of me in the story here. Bad idea. It started right away in our lives. Shortcuts. I saw a sign that said, Indian Burial Ground. I said, oh, we've got to go. So we turned off out of this small town, this small Native American little village hamlet up there. And I couldn't even tell you where it's at this day. I know it started snowing when we were in the Sioux, and they said, oh, chance of snow. Just a chance. Welcome to Michigan. 3 inches later, we're trying with our little Buick front-wheel drive two-door Skylark, or four-door Skylark, with the boys in the back. We saw it, two little ponds and a little dirt road between them, and then up the mountainside with no edging, just straight off the cliff, and a huge rut, wide enough for this little Buick to go up. I said, should we go with all this snow? I said, what if we get... There's got to be a road on the other side because we'll probably never get back down this mountain on this road. We'd slide right off the cliff. There's just no way we could stop with these front brakes and everything. Let's go up. There's got to be something. So after debate and 3 inches of snow, we start the run up this mountain. As we get up there, yeah, and some of you are going, hey, we're sending your kids to Wyoming with you, our kids to Wyoming. Jim's going to be there. If that helps. We start going up the mountain. We get up to the top of the mountain, and there it is. It's awesome. And so we go out, and we're looking, and we're tracking through this snow. At this time, you can't see anything up there. And so we get back to the car, and the kids are just having a great time. And we looked at these old grave sites, and we said, what are we going to do? Well, we debated, and we looked down, and we said, there's no way we're going down that cliff. There's just no way this car is going to get down there. We've got a choice. There's got to be a road up here. And we're looking, and you can see kind of cleared out in the Hiawatha National Forest, kind of a clearing of trees. Of course, with the snow, you couldn't tell if there was a road. And I said, hey, there we go. Let's go. And so we started going down there. And in the back seat, you know, Susan's just shaking her head. The boys in the back going, yay, Dad! And off we go. And we're tracking. I thought, one thing that we should never do is stop, because I don't know if we'll get those front tires going again. So we just went as fast as we could. We're going and we're going and we're going. We finally get to a high point. We're not sure we're on a road. We're just in the woods, finding any clearing that looks like it could be a pathway. And not quite an hour goes by when my wife, of course, the logical one, says, we should pray. And out of the back seat, my oldest, Andrew, who's just a few years old, says, I'll pray. And he begins praying. He says, dear God, help my daddy. I love that part. And he said, my daddy's got us out. Basically, it kind of went like this. My daddy got us out here. God, you need to help him. And then he said this. God, send us an elephant. And I have to tell you, after driving for about an hour in this, we were concerned. What's that? And, oh, she was pregnant with Spencer, so we actually only had two there. Well, we had three, and one wasn't coming at the time out. Not for another month, actually. So she wasn't going to be able to push the car very hard. And we had concern out there with no cell phones and out in the woods. Who would ever find us? And the snow, and by the way, that little chance of snow was 14 inches. We got buried for 2 days in the cabin. We got back. But here's what happened. After sitting there in the car and hearing that prayer, there was concern thinking, okay, God, I got us into this. When I heard my little boy say, God sent us an elephant, that little young man believed God had elephants that he could place in the UP in Michigan to help his ignorant daddy. If he can believe that, we could believe anything. And 2 hours later, we found what was a path and eventually saw a cabin and got back to our cabin, which we dug out for 2 days. My little boy believed in elephants, because he believed in God who can do all things if you believe. And his brother got that, and his other brother got that. Had a young lady share with me from the worship team, a little baby was just born, friend of theirs down south. She's going to go see him. Two holes in their heart. They have a family with a little boy we're praying for. He's got a hole in his heart. And I said, I can relate to that. My youngest boy, when he was... just before we moved here to Michigan from Iowa, we took him in. He was having some problems, and we took him in. He said, we've discovered a hole in his heart, and this isn't going to heal. Mitch and Susan, we want to sit down and talk to you about the options, because we also discovered he has sinus arrhythmia and asthma, and this is going to affect him the rest of his life. There's going to be a problem. And every parent, I don't care if you're a pastor or who, every parent has that life-stopping moment. Oh, God, please help us. Oh, God, please help us. They said, we'd like to do the surgery. He's 4 years old. We'd like to open up his chest now when he's young. The cavity's more tender and softer. It's easier to do it, and there's better healing. Maybe some of you have already walked through this. And in that time, we prayed, God, please help us. We moved to Michigan. We set it up to have his surgery. And we went down I just said, we want the experts. We just want to go down and have them check it out. The night before we left, my son came to me and he says, Daddy, it's okay. I don't need surgery. Last night, Jesus told me he's healed me. I said, okay, sure. We're going to go down. So we went down to the experts. And I'll never forget the doctor when he came out of all the tests. And he came into the room with our family and he said, I have to tell you, Mr. Olson. Yes, he was an expert. Your son no longer has a hole in his heart. And we can't find, he no longer has sinus arrhythmia, and I believe he's been healed of asthma. All of it gone. And my son was sitting in the room, and he looked up, he said, Dad, I told you this yesterday. And I learned this about faith. Doesn't matter who you are. Even if you're a centurion, and you kill Jewish citizens, and you come to Jesus because every dad knows you will do anything, even if you're a Roman praying to all kinds of different gods. But when you hear about Jesus coming to your town, you're going to try him too. And this centurion, a soldier, elite force, who rules 100 men, that's why he's called a centurion, runs to Jesus and said, "Sir, would you heal my son? He's dying." And Jesus said, "Let's go." And the centurion says, "No, I'm unworthy to have you in my house. You're a holy man. I don't deserve to have you under my roof." And Jesus said, here it is again, "Never in all of Israel have I seen such faith." He wasn't a Christian. He wasn't even Jewish. You see, it's not about me. It's always been about Him. I hope this changes your life today. Stop squinting so hard. And just start walking and believing. Take the Word in. We walk by faith. We are the redeemed. Let's stand and pray.